Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Pei Ches. We're holding the fourth line from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah yesterday. If you go back to the Mishnah just for a short second, middle of the Mishnah, it says, on Pei Zayin Umid Aleph, middle of the Mishnah, fourth line of the Mishnah, Choyvu Be'evet Ivri, Chai Be'kulan, Chutz Min Hashebez, Bizman She'en Shulay, Bizman She'u Shulay. HaChoyvu Be'evet Knani Shalachayim, Chai Be'kulan. Be'nevet Knani, Shalachayim, we got to pay all five Tashlumins. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Ein La'avodim Boishes. Avodim don't have boishes, you do not have to pay the boishes factor. You only have to pay the nezik tzar ripoy and shemes, but not boishes. That's from Yehuda. Now, you might have thought on the surface, why is there no boishes? Because anyway, he's an Evan of a Kanani, he's not a person of great stature. However, as we'll see, it's not based on logic, it's based on psukim. My time, says Igmar, fifth line from the top of Peiches Amad Aleph. My time, Rabbi Yehuda Amakrat, says in the Pasik, Ki notzu anoshim yachtov, Ish v'yochiv. Now this pasuk continues on. The korva, if you have tira or hashalem, the korva eishes hu echad lahatzel es isha liyan makeu v'sholcha yoda v'chzika b'mavushav. And the next pasuk says the katzoyis es kapa leisochis en echad. But you have to go and pay for the fact that she was mavayish that individual. So the din of boishes. But the key for our purpose of our gemara is that it says in the pasuk ki notzu anoshim yachtov. Ish v'ochiv from a loshen achva. Says Rabbi Yehuda, Mishi yesh li achva, yotze evet she'en li achva. You're only talking about Jews, you're not talking about Avodim. Avodim don't have achva. What means they don't have achva? So Rashi says at the top, they don't have achva im Yisrael she'en bo bekohol. An evet cannot join the ranks of Klal Yisrael. Of course he can be Magayer, but once he's Magayer, he's gekot and shenoy ledomi. So he can never have achva brotherhood with somebody else. So therefore, when it says in the pasuk Achiv, that's an exclusion, excludes Evet. Rabban, what did the Rabban do with that? He has a good point. Achiv u b'mitzvus. Don't look at the physicality aspect, but look rather at the mitzvus. And we know that Evet Kanani has all the mitzvus ki isha, yelen lo me'isha. So just like by isha, you have all the mitzvus, or at least all the mitzvahs Keisha, she doesn't have the mitzvahs Eishas Man Grama, all the mitzvahs she does have, the Eved has the same, so therefore they are Achim B'mitzvahs. Freyti Malam Le'atla Rabbi Yehuda, Zoy Me Eved Lo Yeharoigu. What happens if you have Zomimim that said about an Eved, for instance, that an Eved went and killed, and the Bezin said, yeah, this Eved killed, I have two Edom, they were made that this Eved killed, and then before they had a chance to go and kill the Eved, guess what happens? We found out that these two Edom are false Edom, because two other Edom say about them, Imanu Hayisem, we were together with you in Chicago. So what happens now? Are you going to go and tell me that normally we have a halacha of Vasisim Loi, Kasha Zomam Lasis Liochiv? Are you going to say we're not going to go and kill now the Edom because it's not an Ach? And we just got saying that an Eved is not an Achiv. Are you going to go and tell me by the Edom Zomim that we're not going to go and give them Misa? In other words, the very same pasuk that you just quoted, the same pasuk finishes off. That of Artarom Mikirbecha comes to trump the word Achiv. You're right, normally Achiv means that he has to be Ro'i Lovoi Bekol, which he's not. However, V'yarta Rami Kibecha tells you there's so much evil in the world that we have to eradicate it. Therefore, since we have to eradicate it, then we're going to go and kill these Edom Zomimim, notwithstanding the fact that they said Edus about a person that doesn't have the full-fledged Achiv.
Does it matter when a person is Megayer? Because if a person is older and is Megayer, that's one story. But if a person is Megayer at a very early age, he grows up with the fundamentals of Judaism and,
for sure.
He has a sense of brotherly connection.
The Gemara says about a ger. Ger is kikotin shenoilid dummy. It's as if he's a brand new baby that was just born. Therefore, he has no achva, he has no he has a biological father, but he has no halachic father, he has no halachic mother, he has no halachic brothers and sisters. It's as if he was born in the middle of a midbar on his own. So therefore, it's not shaykh to talk about him having achva in the ranks of Kaisa. The Gemara is going to talk more about Ger in another moment. So, bottom line is, according to Reb Yehuda, the reason why there's no din of boishes, since we learned the din of boishes from a pasuk that uses the term achiv, kinotza anoshim yachiv ish vi achiv, and he's not an achiv, so therefore boishes doesn't apply to him. What are we going to do with the fact that there's another pasuk legabe edim zamamim? Edim zamamim is a special din of yartara mikibacha, which supersedes the din of achva. Therefore, you do kill the edim zamamim, even though they're talking about another achiv. Normally, I would say, well, he's not an achiv, so there's no din of zamamim. No, yartara mikibacha. They said, according to Rabbanan, that Eved is an achiv b'mitzvois. So, ibazoi, Eved yei kosher l'malchus. Why can't we go and appoint an Eved to be a melech? What does the Gemara mean to say? Because we have another pasuk. That's number... Yeah, 100%. But if you have number 3 in the Torah, Or HaShalem, Soim tosim alecha melech, asher yivchar Hashem alekecha boy, mikerev achecha tosim alecha melech. What do I learn from that? Mikerev achecha, that has to be natural born Jews, and not avodim, and not even gerim. That's what you learn from the din of achecha. But according to the Rabbanan, they say that the word ach doesn't mean they have to be a born Jew. All it has to be is an achiv b'mitzvois, so the eved should be kosher l'malchus. Feitimar amri, v'letamech. Why are you asking about an eved? Tikshul chager. Everybody agrees that a ger cannot be a melech for the same reason about mikere b'checha that you just brought now. Why don't you go and say ger is certainly b'mitzvah, not only a mitzvah ki'isha, he has all the taryag mitzvahs. Elo makro mikere b'checha. Why does the pasuk add the word mikere? It could have said, soim tosim alecha melech, ashiv chayashem lekecha boi, me'achecha tosim alecha melech. What's the mikere b'checha? Mikere means me muvcha shebachecha. It's got to be mamish, the elite of your achim. So not just your regular ach, but it's got to be a super ach, if you will. And that being the case, that's why a ger v'haftim is a ger. We love gerim, it goes without saying. But he's still not considered to be the muvkar achecha. And the same thing, a kol shekein, an eved. Why won't we allow an eved to go and say edus? Tichsiv said in the pasuk, v'nei eid sheker ho'eid, sheker ona bi achiv. Now, according to Rabbi Huda and according to us, he can't be an achiv. Why can't he be an achiv? Like Rashi said at the top, because he can't come be koh. So that's all according to Rabbi Huda. But according to Rabbanan that say, achiv hu b'mitzvah, as an achiv b'mitzvah, he has all the mitzvahs kisha. Omer ula, edus le'motzes amos. No, you cannot go and say that an eved can be an eid, because asya, edus be'kavachoymer me'isha. We're going to bring a kavachoymer from isha. What's me'isha? Oma isha shehi ru'uya love be'kol. Psulili edus. An isha, obviously, is roi love be'kol. Every isha, a born Jewess, of course, she's allowed to get married and bring new doiris into Klai Yisrael, but she's still psulili edus. How do I know a woman is psulili edus? So Rashi brings a pasuk. It says in the pasuk, the umdu shnehu anoshim. The umdu shnehu ho. Anoshim. Anoshim means men. So I learned from that. Anoshim v'loi noshim. And coincidentally, Igmar is going to tell us shortly, Anoshim v'loi ketan. So it's got to be an adult male. Ah, so Zokti Igmar. So I'm going to learn now that an Evet is possibly Edis, Kal v'choyim me'isha. My Isha, Shehi Ru'i, love him because Isha is obviously much more advanced in her relationship to Kal than an Evet. But nevertheless, psul edus. But you can't go and say edus. Eved shein roi lovei b'kol ein edin shepasli edus. He has no shaychus to come into kol unless he's megayer. But until that point, as an eved, he has no shaychus to klai Yisrael. So therefore, he's nicha pasli edus. For tomorrow, 1 second. Mali isha shekin ein ruuya lemila. You know the reason why an isha perhaps is disqualified from being an aid or an eda, if you'd like. She cannot be a witness because she's not roi for bris mila. Toim be'eved shu roi lemila. Since an Eved is royal amilets, in that sense, he has one step above her. It's taka true based on Yekav Chaymer that normally I would say Isha is greater than the Eved because she's royal of a Bekol, Masha Enkin the Eved. But on the other hand, when it comes to Mila, the Eved has a greater shaykhis to Klai Yisrael than the Isha does. She doesn't have the possibility of Mila, but he does. In fact, every Eved one's supposed to Mal when you buy him as an Eved. So therefore, maybe he would be qualified after all. In other words, a pircha, a kal v'chayim. Zokti Gemara, the fact that an Evid has a Mila is Leimalav Leimari, because Kotn Yechiach, she Yeshna Mamila, every child of 8 days old gets a bris, or Pasliatus, Nevelachis is Pasliatus. So in Bazoi, the fact that you have a Mila is Leimalav Leimari. Frank Gemara, Mala Kotn, Shein of a Mitzvah, turn the Evid to a Mitzvah. 1 second, the reason why a Kotn is not Roy to go and say Eidus, like we said in the Pasuk, the Amdashnei Huan Hashim, Lahoitzi Noshim, Lahoitzi Ktanim. You know, the reason is because the cotton doesn't have any mitzvahs, except for the mitzvah of Bris Mila, which is really the mitzvah of the father. But regardless, so cotton ain't no mitzvahs, turn by Evid Shuma mitzvahs. Evid has all of the mitzvahs Keisha, so he has half of the mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs Loisa, etc. So therefore, an Evid is better than a cotton. So let him go and say, Eidus. Yeah, but Isha Teichiach. Isha has the very same mitzvahs that the Evid has, Sheyeshnam mitzvahs, Upsuli Eidus. But then you're going to go and say, yeah, but you can bring a raya from Isha, because Isha doesn't have a bris mila, but the Evan has a bris mila. Yeah, but bris mila is limal of limoid, I see, from cotton. A cotton does have a bris mila, and he's still disqualified. Yeah, but a cotton doesn't have the mitzvahs. However, the Evan does have the mitzvahs. Yeah, but the Isha also has the mitzvahs, and she's disqualified. So you can go round and round in circles, and therefore says, more of a chazar din, in all of these cases, in other words, both the Noshim and the Ketanim, they don't have all the mitzvahs, which means they don't have all the mitzvahs. Women only have the mitzvahs that they have, the lavin, they don't have the positive mitzvahs, and they certainly don't have the mitzvah of Mila. The cotton, on the other hand, has no mitzvahs except for the mitzvah of Mila. Upsul Nahoid, and both partial Toid. Afani of Yisavit, Shainim Bechala Mitzis. He doesn't have all the Mitzis, he only has Mitzis Ki'isha. Upasul Nahoid. So I don't learn it directly from a Kal Bechaymer, I learned it from a Mamatzin or a Binyan Av, from the case of Noshim and Ketanim together. So Timar Malat Sada Shavu Shavu Henshi Kin Ein Ish. Both in the case of the women, as well as the case of Ketanim, I can easily go and exclude them from the Omdushnei Ho Anoshim. Who are Noshim that has the sense of a male adult. Turn the Eved, Shehu Ish, an Eved is a male adult. So maybe even with the Tzara Shavish Behen, I should still say an Eved is qualified to go and be an aid, especially according to the Chacham that say that the word Ochiv includes Ochiv the Mitzvahs. So Timur Eletaisim Gazlan. You know why an Eved is possible? We're going to learn it from a case of a Gazlan. Now what? That just like a Gazlon, he happens to be, we're assuming a male Gazlon. Today I'm not sure that we can always assume that, but at least in the time of the Gemara, we're talking about a Gazlon is a male. He is Roy Lovi Bekohol. He has all of the mitzvahs, and we say he's possibly Eidus. So just like a Gazlon is possibly Eidus, even though he's Roy Lovi Bekohol, and even though he has all the mitzvahs, El Achas Kam Vakam, an Eved that doesn't have all the mitzvahs, and is not Roy Love the Bekol, he certainly should be possibly Eidus. Pray tomorrow, Mala Gazan Shekim Masav Garmulai. The reason why Gazan is possible is because he's done evil acts. He's a Gazlan. And that's the reason why we say, get out of here, that's why you're possible. Rashi brings the Pasik, Al Toshis Yorchim Ei Liois Eid Chomas, Al Toshis Rot, Russia aid Leo's aid Hamas as a Russia. That's the reason why. But evidently not a Russia. This might be the nicest guy in the world. So why do you say automatically that he's possible? Talking about Evichim, a massive Garmala. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything evil. Says him, well, you're right. Taysim Gazlan Umechad Mehanoch. We're going to learn it again from a Binyan Av, taking Gazlan and one of the other two. One of the other two means either the woman or the cotton. And we're going to go and do the same thing. What's the Tzara Shavish Behen? So if you look at Rashi in the middle of the Abed, what's Megazon V'chad Mianoch? V'atzara Shavish Behen She'enam Zehirim B'chol HaMitzvahs. They are not commanded, and therefore they're not careful about performing all the mitzvahs. Why? The Gazon they Rishoy, because he's an evil person. He doesn't keep the mitzvahs. That's why he stole. V'zemet Nishlein Etztaveh. And the woman or the cotton, because they don't have the tzivoy on all the mitzvahs. Either the woman, because she only has the mitzvahs loisessa, or the cotton doesn't have any mitzvahs except for the bris mila that Gemara said before. So therefore, the tzara shavish b'hen is that they don't have all the mitzvahs, and they are posel eidus, afani avi eved, that's not b'chol mitzvahs, and he's posel eidus. So this is similar to the ma'amatzina that we said before, just that before we said that the tzara shavish b'hen is both, that they're not anoshim, both the women and the ketanim are not anoshim. Here's the gazlan is an adult male. Therefore, we say, even though you're adult male, you're still disqualified. Well, same thing with Gabi Nevin. He's an adult male, and he is disqualified. With this, we finish off the first discussion that we wanted to know what's the basis of Rabbi Yehuda saying that an Eved ain loy boishes, and the Gemara said, because Rabbi Yehuda holds, he's not considered to be an ach. And we have the kashas back and forth, the Gabi Eidus. Now we have a new reason why an Eved is possibly Eidus. Margari Ravina Omar Omakrets, and the Apostle Yumsu Obois al Bonim, and the Apostle continues on, Uvonim la Yumsu al Obois. Parship Shat in the Pasuk, everybody knows, that means that a Korav is possibly Eidus. La Yumsu Obois al Bonim, that you cannot have sons testify against fathers to Chas HaShalom give Misa to the fathers. And the second half of the pasuk, the same thing. Uvanam liyum so al always. We're not going to go and give misa to children based on the edus of the fathers because of the kurva, because of the relationship. That's the posh pshat. The Gemara, however, is not happy with that pshat because if that's the case, it should say liyum so always al b'neihem. Uvanam liyum so al avoisehem. If all the pasuks come to tell you the halacha of kurvashaft, of relations, that one relative cannot say on behalf of another, shouldn't say liyumso always al b'neyam. Why did it say al banim? So based on that, the Gemara has another drasha and learns in this pasuk that there's a wider dimension to this liyumso. Is ma'abri ravina oma omar kratz, is above liyumso always al banim. Liyumso, don't give misa to a third party. Al pi always she'ein lehem chayaz banim. To a person who is a father, but he doesn't have chayas banim. What means he doesn't have chayas banim? That his children are not miyuchas acharav. Who is that? That's the case of an Eved. An Eved has children. Those children are not named al shem Aviv. As you know, they all belong to the Adoin. Ho'isha viladea tiel Adoin neha. Therefore, they do not belong to the father, doesn't own the child. And the child, biologically, of course, it's his son. But halachically, it's as if they're unrelated. So since Englehem Chayis Banim, that's what the Pasuk is telling you. A person that doesn't have the yichas of Banim, of children, he is disqualified from being an eight. Because if you're going to learn Parshipshat in the Pasuk, Liyumsu Ovis al Banim, the Eidus Banim, which of course is a simple interpretation, Lichtu Rachman Liyumsu Ovis al Bineim, my Banim, why does it say Banim? Shema Mino, the Liyumsu, don't give Misa to a third party. I'll be always based on an individual, in this case an Eved, she'ein lehem chayis banim, that his banim are not related to him, they're not considered to be miyuchas acharav. Ah, so this is a brand new drasha. We don't have to go through the Kal V'chomer and the Binyan Av and bring a rai from Gazlan based on this pasuk.
Maybe that was a special case. Maybe
what's a special case?
This Misa, he wanted to give Misa, maybe, but other Eidus he would be permitted.
Eidus HaChodesh, maybe.
Okay.
There's not a kulos by Eidus HaChodesh for we saw in Rosh Hashanah.
But I think what Brother Shai is asking, correct me if I'm wrong, here we're talking about Dafka Ritzicha, or anything having to do with Misa. Yeah. What about if we're talking about giving Malkus? What happens if we're talking about in Aegis Mominus? So we'd have to look up Sanhedrin where the Gemara goes through the Makar that Kroivim Apostle Aegis. You know the famous story in Valoshin, yeah? Or maybe it was Navardik, in one of the Litvish Yeshivas. As you know, the Litvish Yeshivas did not learn Tanakh. So the story is told that one Bocher said to another Bocher, he has a Befeder Shariah, the Moshe and Aharon were brothers. What do you have right? I give more than Sanhedrin. What did it say in Sanhedrin? Maybe it's a Malkus. The Malkus Sanhedrin. That it says there in the Gemara that Kroivim Apostle Yedis. And the Gemara says it nothing to do with being trustworthy. Afilu Achim Kemoishe V'Haroin are apostle to go and say Yedis. Harai, the Moishe V'Haroin are our brothers. Abefeirish and Gemara. Good. Anyway, so continuing on. Shema Mino Liyum Zal Pi Ovish Elam Chayiz Van. Let's go now to the second part of the Pasuk. Uvanim Liyum Su Al Ovois. So now, are you going to learn the pasuk the same way? Hachanami liyumsu al pi banim she'ein lehem chayis avois. Are you going to tell me, just like we said on the first half of the pasuk, don't allow edim who are avish she'ein lehem chayis banim Now you're not going to allow Edim who are banim she'en lahem chayis ovois. Now what's the difference between chayis ovois and chayis banim? As we'll see momentarily, because in the case of an Eved, he doesn't have any yichus in terms of his father. He doesn't have a yichus in terms of his son. Since he's an Eved, father, son, grandson, all of those, halachically, there is no significance. They're not related whatsoever. However, that's only Gabi and Eved. The Gabi a Ger, we have a different standard. Although the Ger can never have a father, but the Ger can have children and grandchildren. After all, the Ger is Megayer, and then he gets married and he has children. So he can have Chayis Bonim, but he's never going to have Chayis Ovis, because the father that he had, who was the Gentile father, he'll never, biologically, he's his father, but halachically, the relationship is not there. So says the Gemara, just like you learned in the first half of the Pasuk, to go and say, L'yumsei Ovis al Bonim, L'yumsei Pi Ovis Shein Lam Chayis Bonim, and we interpreted that to mean an Eved that has no yichus vis-a-vis his children. So let's learn now the same thing. About a ger that doesn't have the yichus of his father. And if you're going to learn the pasuk that way, el ger hachinam the pasuk the eidus, you can tell me a ger can be is going to be pasuk the eidus. That's not true. A ger is a father. He's qualified to be an eid. Every more ami hachi hashta. How can you compare? Ger nehida in lechayis lamala lamata yesh lechayis. Like we just said, although he doesn't have chayis lamala, meaning earlier generations, that's wiped off his map because he's a brand new ger. Ger is kekotin shenoy the dummy, so his father, grandfather doesn't exist. However, the mata yesh lechayis, when he has doyrois, when he gets married, he has children, then he does chayis bonim. Lafuki eved de in lechayis lelamala lelamata. Like we said before, eved has no yichus either up or down. If you're going to tell me that you're going to learn from the second half of the pasuk that a ger, just like an eved, we learn from the reish of the pasuk. We're going to learn from the seif of the pasuk ger is posul yedis. Lichle rachmana. So let's go through the pasuk again. Let it say lo yumsu avos al bneihem. Likin amrina that what pashup shad lo yumsu beedis banu. That was the simple pshat of the pasuk. Don't allow for avos to be prosecuted and declared Chas V'Shalom guilty based on the edus of banim. That would be if it's the yumsu of the salbanei. And benichlu rachmana, and don't darshan anything further from the reisha. Let's just go and darshan from the sefer of the pasuk. Benichlu rachmana banim yumsu al avos. The shamas mino trei. From that we can learn two things. What choda leyumsu banim beedus avos? The pasuk pshat. Don't go and give misa to the banim based on the edus of the fathers because of the korvishaf, because of the fact that they are related. The idach, and now learn taka the second drasha, lo yumsu alpi bonim she'en lem chayis avos, and who is that referring to? That's referring to a ger. So a ger would also be disqualified, and from the pasuk I wouldn't know eved, because if we're going to learn the first half of the pasuk yumsu avos al bneihem, so that's only telling us the normal, classic, regular pshat of don't allow a karev to go and be made for another karev. But we're not learning the din of Eved from that. We're now going to learn from the seif of the pasuk, the din of ger, because a ger doesn't have chayis avos. How am I going to know Eved? Eved nafkali mekal v'chaymer. I'll learn a kal v'chaymer. Mi ger. Madach ger. Tilamalahu di ein lechayis. Avalamati yesh lechayis. A ger is only half problematic in the sense that he doesn't have chayis lamalah, his father, grandfather. But he does have lamata, he has children. Possibly aidis. Eved she'en lechayis. Loy lamata. Veloy lamata. Ein edin she'ei possibly aidis. Then I would certainly say that an Eved is possible. So I don't need the first half of the pasuk to go and tell you the din of Eved if you're going to learn the second half of the pasuk to tell you the din of Ger. So therefore, Ela, medikosu rachman leyumsu ovis al banim. It doesn't say al b'nehem, it says al banim. Temash leyumsu api ovis she'ein loy chayis banim. Where there you can easily explain it like we started off the drasha before. That not only is the pasuk come to tell you al begabe relatives not being able to testify against one another. However, the pasuk is telling you yet another halacha. And who is that? Shema Amina, that's an Eved. Who? The Pasul Yedis. That's the one that's Pasul Yedis. So by not saying Al B'nei Hem, but saying Al Bonim, the pasuk is susceptible to both interpretations, the simple interpretation and this drasha that's marbe and eved. Avoger kim diyeshloi chayis lemati isak a kosher li edus. Now you're going to say, if he's kosher li edus, uchitayim alichtu rachmana ubanu liyumsu al avoyseihem. Since you said before that the reason why the Torah says banim and not bneihem is to lend itself to both the simple pshat and the drasha. And since you're saying that the second half of the pasuk is not coming to tell you a drasha, because the second half of the pasuk is only going to tell you the simple halacha of psu'ei, but not the din of the chayas, lamala lamata, because otherwise we'll say that a ger is disqualified, and a ger is not disqualified. So lama l'yikos rachman avam l'yumtu al avoyz, t'mash l'yumtu al pibonim she'en lem chayas avoyz. It would have been better to go and say al avoyzeim by saying al avoyz. That sounds like, let's darshan it both ways, like we said before. What's both ways? Number one, the pashup shot of kroyth and posiliatus. And number two, the din of the ger being posiliatus. So why does it say a voice and not avoisehem? Says Gemara, you're absolutely right. Based on the way we have explained the psukim, al avoisehem would have been the norm and would have been the preferable way. But I did the cost of yums of Albanim, since the Kodesh Baruch Hu wrote the first part of the pasuk Albanim, so that Albanim is to allow you to go and darshan beyond the simple interpretation of the Isser of Kroyden, also to go and tell you the din of Eved, so that there is poetic and literary consistency. Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he wrote the pasuk, he wanted it to go and synchronize exactly, same way as the Reisha, same way as the Sefer, and not to go and change the verbiage, which could be confusing. Who we want to be? Yeah.
So we're learning from the Mishnah.
Okay. Very good. Okay, so now we've concluded that whole discussion on the Gabbai Eved, and now we continue on to the next part of the Mishnah. Now, in addition to that, the Gemara really is not focusing on the Chayr Shoyt of the Cotton, but really the focus of the Mishnah is going to be on the next part of the Mishnah. The next part of the Mishnah was, Ho'eved vo'isha pigiyosan ra'a. Ho'eved vo'isha pigiyosan ra'a. And we learned yesterday in the Mishnah what means pigiyosan ra'a. Don't start up with an Eved or an Isha, because if you start up with them and you cause the damage, you're going to have to pay. And they are going to be temporarily off the hook. You can perhaps go and sue them 50 years later. When could you sue them 50 years later? In the case of an Eved, if he ever becomes Nishtachrer, and now for the first time he comes into funds, or the Isha when she becomes Niskarisha, when she becomes divorced, because until that time, she doesn't have any Nechostim of her own. And of course, Rashi already pointed out yesterday, you remember Ariel discussed this yesterday, what it means, she brought the Nechsim Alug into the Chasana. That's true, but says Rashi, since there's a Shibud on those Nechostim for her husband, that the husband goes and gets the pay rise as long as they're married. And then Chas v'Shalom, if she were to pass away, he's going to go and yarshin her. So basically, she has title to the Nechasim, but she doesn't have usage and utility of Nechasim. She cannot liquidate Nechasim. The only time she would be chayef to go and pay would be after she receives Chas v'Shalom again.
You expressed it in terms of suing in 50 years. Wouldn't you sue presently so that she would now be added to the
Nechasim? That's fine. You can go and get a lien. Not only a lien, you can get a decision now.
A judgment now.
Absolutely, but you can't go and
enforce that.
Yeah, so most people, I shouldn't say most people, but many people would say, if I'm only going to be able to collect in 50 years, and who knows if she's going to go and die first or she's going to die later. And maybe she'll get a nishget, so I'm going to spend now $100,000 getting these fancy schmancy lawyers to go and get a basket, a psak judgment against the Isha. I can't get any money anyway. So it's Hilchas al Mashiach. Yeah, maybe in 10 years, maybe 20 years, maybe 15 years. So many people would wait. But you're right. You could get a judgment now. Fine. Anyway, getting back to our Mishnah, so our Gemara. So Gemara is going to focus on that. And first we're going to start off with a story. You're going to see that the word Abba, there are about 5 or 10 people in this Gemara whose names are Abba, but they're unrelated. We have the mother of Reb Shmuel Bar Abba from Mehegronya, and this was from a first marriage. She, Zivik Rishoin, she, the mother of Shmuel Bar Abba, she was married to a person by the name of Reb Abba Mehegronya. They had a child, Mazel Tov. The name of that child was Rav Shmuel, initially Shmuley, and after that he became Rav Shmuel, Rav Meir Gronya, and then that marriage terminated. Perhaps the first husband passed away, perhaps he gave her a gift, whatever it was. And now she remarried. Havasnasiva lay litter of Abba. So her second husband was also Rav Abba, but not Rav Abba Meir Gronya, Rav Abba from Derdor, or Sura, or whatever. Okay. Anyway, she was concerned that what happens if and when Chulila Bechas, she's going to go and pass away, that her Nechosim are going to go to her husband, the Yorash Oisa, and then in turn, his children are going to get the benefit of her Yerusha. That's not a good thing. So now what did she do? Kosvesinu Lenechse, Rav Shmuel Bar Abba Bira. So she wrote all in the Chosim, she wrote out a last will and testament, she wrote out a Shtar Matana, to go and give all in the Chosim to Rav Shmuel Bar Abba, but not that it should be Chal now, but it should be Chal after she passes away. She wants it to belong to her son, Rav Shmuel Bar Abba, from the Meher Gronya, from the first marriage. Okay, guess what happened? It wasn't a shechita. Eventually she passed away. So now Rabbi Shmuel Bar Abba has this document, and he wants to get hold of these nechasim. Also Rabbi Shmuel Bar Abba, kamei de Rabbi Yirmiyar Bar Abba. Again, presumably not related.
Right.
Comes to Rabbi Yirmiyar Bar Abba. Each one of these people, as you see, had a father.
That's right. Why Rabbi, each one had an Abba.
Exactly. That makes a lot of sense. They may have over here the Arba Ovois, since we're talking about potentially in the Zikin. Okay, whatever. Anyway, so what does the Gemara say? As soon as Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba saw the document and he heard the whole story, he said, it's yours, my friend, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Abba, take the nechosim of your late mother, Aleha Hashem. Ozel Rabbi Abba, the second husband, who was not so happy with this decision, Omer Lemilza Kami de Rav Hoshia, he went to Rav Hoshia and said, do you hear what Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba paskin? He took all these nechosim and gave it to Rabbi Shmuel Bar Abba instead of to me. Omer Rav Hoshia, Omer Kami de Rav Yehuda. He went in front of Rav Yehuda and he told him the whole story. Omer Leis, Rav Yehuda said, Hachi Omer Shmuel, Ho Isha Shemachra Ben Nechsi Malug Bechayi Bala, an Isha that attempted to go and sell Nechsi Malug when her husband was still alive, and her husband had a full-fledged lien on all of those nechasim. Umesa, and subsequently she passes away. Not that lekech, it can't wait for that moment to be able to go and grab hold of those nechasim malug, because after all, the woman went and sold it. And at this point, the marriage is terminated because nevach she's on the oylem ha'emes. Says Shmuel, habal moitzim yara lekuchais. The Baal can go and say, I'm the lekech rishon, I get it before anybody else, and what the Isha did is null and void, I get it. So therefore, applying that rule to our case over here as well, what happened? The Reb Abba, who was the second husband of the mother of Reb Shmuel Bar Abba, he had the right to the peiros, the nechosim that the Isha owned and that she gave to her son were nechse mulug. So this is a case of Isha Shemachra, okay, not machra, nosna, nechse mulug b'chayi bala, and then after that, she passes away. What happens to the nechosim? They shouldn't go to Reb Shmuel Bar Abba. They go to the Baal, Moitzmi Abakuchas. Reb Abba gets it. So we have here, fair and square, a machloikis lahalacha in this case. Who is going to get the nechosim of the Isha? Is it going to be her son, Reb Shmuel Bar Abba? Or is it going to be the second husband, Reb Abba? We have the psak of Reb Yirmiyah Bar Abba that the son gets it. And we have the psak of Reb Yehuda in the name of Shmuel that the husband gets.
By which Shmuel's father was named Abba Bar Abba.
Okay. That's good. That's very good.
A little color in that.
Oh, good.
Another
Abba. Good. Says Imar Amrua Kamei Reb Yemrich.
That's Rav.
I know, I'm saying Reb Yemrich.
Okay, but Reb Abba is not in this story, if you want to bring in,
I'm just saying it's not an uncommon name.
No, in fact, our very own Reb Daniel's name is Daniel
Abba,
you see, and Baruch Hashem, and he's a father to wonderful children and grandfather, etc., etc. Okay, anyway, Amru Kamid Reb Yemrich Bar Abba, so now Reb Shmuel Bar Abba presumably took back the psak that he heard from Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel, and he told Reb Yemrich Bar Abba, Amalahu, says Rav Yirmi Bar Abba, I have the greatest respect for Shmuel, but I know Masnisi Adana, but I know a Mishnah. Where is this Mishnah? We have this Mishnah in Masechtas Yevamos, so we're going to have it later on in Bava Basra. And now, basically what the Mishnah is going to tell us is this type of situation where you have Nechosim, where, step back, We have the famous machlokes throughout Ch'as between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Regabi, what? Whether kinyan ha-peiros are kinyan ha-guftami or lav kinyan ha-guftami. Mm-hmm. What's the nafkimina? Because the husband always has the kinyan peiros. And the question is that the kinyan ha-guf? And if it's a kinyan ha-guf, l'choyre it should shter. Shter means it should interfere with any type of conveyance that the wife is going to try to do. Why? Because she doesn't own the property. What do you mean she doesn't own the property? It's nechsim alug. She is the titular owner, mazel tov. But who has the rights of all the payers and the income? The husband. So if you hold a kinyan of payers, kinyan of guftami, he is the real owner. And therefore she is a puppet elephant, or whatever the correct terminology is.
Nominative.
A baby elephant. Okay, whatever it is. The point is, she thinks, oh, I'm a rich lady. I own the Empire State Building. I own the Liberty Tower. Mazel tov. Do you get one penny of income? Zero. Okay, so it all belongs to your husband. It doesn't belong to you. Mm-hmm. So if you hold kinyan peiros, kinyan guftami, then the person who has the nominal guf would not be able to go and make a conveyance. On the other hand, if you hold kinyan peiros, lav kinyan guftami. After all, this is temporary. You only have the income. The real guf, the keren, belongs to the wife. Then she could go and convey. Mm-hmm. So therefore, that's going to be the whole discussion from here until the bottom of the Amud. It's a fascinating discussion, as you will see. So what should be in Barabbas right? The Nan says the Mishnah, HaKoisim Nechosev Libnoi Li'achar Moisoi. You have a father and son, and the father goes and writes his Nechosim to his son after the father will pass away. Now what does that mean? He sells, or he gives his Nechosim to his Bnoi Li'achar Moisoi. So Rashi says on the second line, that in the Shtar, it says, my dear son, I'm giving you my Nechosim, may hayoim uli acher misa. You see Rashi in the second line. I'm giving it to my yom from today, and it should be chal acher misa. So what does that mean? Haguf koniloch leben mehayoyim. Now, if you become the official owner, when you look up the tax records, you look up the real estate records, you're going to go and see that the son is the owner. However, he says, I'm going to continue taking the income until I pass away, which makes a lot of sense. The father wants the benefit of the value of the income from the property, but in terms of the keren, I don't need the keren, that belongs to you. But I'm giving you the keren now, and you'll get the peiros li'achar misa. So now looking at this piece of property, there are two owners. You have the income owner, which is the father, and you have the keren owner, which is the son. Dr. the Mishnah. Neither of them legally should go and sell. The son should not sell because it's not really his. It belongs to the Av. And the Av shouldn't go and sell because it really belongs to the Ben. But that's all the Chachilah, as you'll see. Because the Mishnah continues on. What happens if Mocher Av? What happens if the Av did decide to sell it after all? So what part of the property does he have the right to sell? Just the income stream. So mechurim ad shiyomus. So the income stream is sold ad shiyomus until he passes away. And after he passes away, he no longer is entitled to the payers. The guf belongs to the son, and the son will take over everything, not only the guf hakarka, but also the payers as well. And the other way around, mocher haben, if the son sells his formal title, exactly, title to the property, engle lekech ad shiyomus av. The Lekeach can't do anything with a title to this title, Shmeidel. What is he going to do with it? The Maisi doesn't get the income. When is he going to go and get the income? When the father passes away, he'll get the income at that time. Okay, so that all is very logical. Now, the Gemara is Medayik. Kimayis Av Miha Islay Lekeach. However, when the father eventually passes away, then the lekeach that received it from the son, that the son had sold it to, then he would go and get it. Because now the father no longer gets payers. The father's on the oilam ho'emes. He doesn't need payers anymore. Then it's all going to go to the lekeach. Now the Gemara is adding another presumption, which doesn't say clearly in the Mishnah. And that is, l'choyda the Mishnah is talking about, since the Mishnah does not distinguish, the afel gav demes haben v'chaye av. Even if Chas Hashem, the son, predeceases his father. And therefore, what does that mean? The son sold his rights to this property to the Lekeach. The son never passes away. The father is still alive. Now the father eventually passes away a day later, a week later, a year later, 10 years later. They never, these nechasim never entered into the realm or the rishus of the ben, because the ben never passed away before the father did. And the Gemara is assuming Kirib Shimon ben Lakish. How did Rish Lakish interpret this Mishnah? The Amar, even though the Mishnah doesn't say when the son passed away, of course we would normally assume, like the normal way of life is, that the father would pass away first, and then the son would pass away. But Rish Lakish said, since the Mishnah does not mention that, even though it never entered into the ben's rishus, that it did go into the ben's rishus, the ben kana, the ben. In both cases, kana lekeach. It really makes no difference, says Rish Lakish, whether the son passed away before the father, or the father passed away before the son. Bottom line is, the mechira that the ben did to the lekeach is effective, so that after the father passes away, even if the son predeceased him, what's going to happen? The nechasim are going to go to that lekeach. Now, where did we find this Reish Lakish? The Itmar. Mochra ben mechayoav. The ben sold it, like we just said. Umeisa ben mechayoav. And the ben, unfortunately, never received the rishus of these properties. He got the nice document that says that these properties belong to you, but the ben never had any shaykhis to them. And Nebuch the ben passed away before the av. What happens now to the nechasim? Rabbi Yochan Amar Loi Kana Lekeach. Lekeach does not get it. Shlokesh Amar Kana Lekeach. No, the Lekeach does get it. What's the reason for the machlokes? Like we explained, that what? Zok the Yomar Rabbi Yochan Amar Loi Kana Lekeach Amar Loch. When the Mishnah says, Mocher HaBen Loi Kana Lekeach Ad Shiyom HaSav, when we learned that when the Ben sells it, the Lekeach is not Koine it instantly, he's got to wait Ad Shiyom HaSav, Yachimai HaSav, when the father passed away, is the Lekeach. Then, of course, the Lekeach is going to go and get it. To Lois Meis HaBen B'chaya Av, because we're talking about a situation, says Rabbi Yochanan, not like Rish Lakish, says Rabbi Yochanan, that the son outlived the father, which of course is the typical case. To Asli Deya Ben, so the Ben did receive the actual title as well as the benefit of this property, because the father passed away, and now when the father had said Meyom L'Achar Misa, now it all belongs to the son. And since the son had sold it to the Lekeach, it's all going to go to the Lekeach. But says Rabbi Yochanan, Av Mesa Ben B'chaya Av, if the Ben predeceased the father, when this Ben passed away, he had never ever received the actual benefit of this property, because the father is still alive and he's still getting all the income stream. Kimayis Av Nami, when the father passes away subsequently after the son passed away, just like the son never received the property because never he predeceased the father, so then the Lekeach also doesn't get less than Lekeach.
There's no Ben of it.
Beautiful.
Goes back into the father's
estate.
Exactly. And whoever else would get, Yerusha would get. So what's the basis of the machloek between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish? Alma kosavar, kinyan peiros ki kinyan haguftami. That when the father owned the kinyan of peiros, he's the one that really owns the property. V'chizovin, when the son sold it, lavdi deizovin. And under normal circumstances, if the father had passed away, now the son would receive it, because after all, that's what the father wrote in the Shtar Meyom L'Achamis, and now the son gets it. For one split second, it's his, and then it gets transferred over to the Lekeach, because the son had sold it. However, here, when the son predeceased the father had 100% rights. Kinyan Peiros Kinyan Gufdami. The son never received it. Since the son never received it, the Lekeach never receives it. That's what Rabbi Yochanan holds. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Oimer, Kana Lekeach. No, the Lekeach will be Koina, even in the case where the son predeceases the father. Why? And now the Gemara repeats what we said before. Ki ki ktoni masnis and mochra ben, ein le Lekeach achi omus av. However, ki mayis av mias is le Lekeach, when it said in the Mishnah that if the son sells it, the Lekeach doesn't get a drop until the Av passes away. However, when the Av passes away, then the Lekeach gets it. The Mishnah didn't distinguish. Not only in your normal, regular case, when the father passed away first, and then the ben received the property for a split second, so also the other, the ben, and then obviously the ben had conveyed it to the lekech, it goes to lekech. For lo yishno, but even in the case of mesa memechayav, to lo yosu li yodi de ben, ulzu kana lekech. The question is why? Al mikasa, because Rish Lakish goes lishitos, right? That he holds kinyan peiris, lav ki kinyan a guf tami. So even though the father had retained the kinyan peiris, but that's not the guf, that just means the income stream. The actual mortar and bricks, the bricks and mortar of this property, belong to the son. And even though the son predeceased, but that's what he owned. And therefore he was able to go and sell that to the lekech. So when the son passed away, and then the father passed away, boom, the lekech is able to go and take the property. So when the son sold it to lekech, that was really his. That's a fascinating discussion in explaining that Mishnah. Now, let's get back to our case. Vanan hashto. Now we are going to analyze who's right. Is Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba right? Mm. Or is Rabbi Yehuda right? Vanan hashto. Bein Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba. Uvein Rav Yehuda. We are assuming as a premise, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Svirlo. They both hold like Reish Lakish. They call Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, and that's why Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba is now bringing a raya from the Mishnah to his psak. Remember, what was the psak of Yirmiyahu bar Abba? That even though the father, or I should say the second husband of the mother of Rabbi Shmuel bar Abba had the kinyan peiros in the property, but according to Reish Lakish, kinyan peiros lavka kinyan a guf dami, and so therefore the mother was able to go and convey her property to the son. Not that it should become effective immediately, it will become effective when she passes away, when the husband no longer has any right to the peiros, boom, instantaneously the property is going to go to the lekech. And therefore, come Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba. Isol kedaita kinyan peiros kinyan a guf dami, which is like Rabbi Yochanan, not like Reish Lakish. Ki mayis av, umayis haben b'chaya av. If the father died and the son had predeceased him, amayis lelekech. Why would the lekech get anything? Ki kozoven hai, lav di de kozoven. If you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, the kinyan a peiros kinyan a guf dami, then the son didn't have anything other than the nominal title. It didn't really belong to him. So what he transferred to lekech was zero. Ooh, it's a nominal title. Bagunish Megunish. Because he never had the real ownership of the property. Elalav, therefore, says Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba and says Reish Lakish, Shma mina, kinyan peiros lav ki kinyan a guf tami. And therefore, the Mishnah is based on the premise that sai if the ben predeceased the father, sai if he passed away after the father. In all cases, the ben was able to go and sell the property to the lekech, so that when the father passed away, whether he passed away before the son, he passed away after the son, it goes to the lekech. The father, had the kinyan habeirois, kinyan peiros lav kinyan guftami. The real ownership belonged to the son, and therefore it makes a difference when the son passed away earlier or later. It goes to lekech. So if you hold kinyan peiros lav kinyan guftami, says now Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, that's just like me, because who had the kinyan to this property that Rabbi Shmuel bar Abba's mother wrote to Rabbi Shmuel bar Abba? Again, it was split. The husband, the second husband, Reb Abba, what did he have? He had the kinyan peiros, but she retained the kinyan aguf, like all cases of Nechse Muluk. Did she have the right to go and convey it to her son? Yes, she did. And if and when Chas Hashom she passes away, it goes to that son. Why? But the husband had the kinyan peiros. Kinyan peiros lav ki kinyan aguf tami. So therefore she had the right to go and sell it or give it to her son. Says Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, based on Reish Lakish, based on this understanding of the Mishnah, you see, I have a clear-cut raya to me. Adulakam and Rabbi Yehuda. So after we went through this whole back and forth, they repeated this whole shtickle Torah to Rabbi Yehuda, and they said we have a Beferish Mishnah like Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba. So how could Shmuel Paskin otherwise? Amaluhus, Rabbi Yehuda said, Nishka Kasha, Hachi Yom Mishmuel, Zu Ein Adel Mishnah saying. You really cannot compare the case of a husband and wife to the case of a father and son. Why can't you compare the two? My time. Rav Yossi will explain to you. Rav Yossi now comes on the scene and he's explaining why Shmuel would hold that our Mishnah, the Mishnah that we just quoted, this case in the Chos of Libnoi, which is Mihoi Melachar Misa, why that's different from our case of the mother of Rav Shmuel bar Abba. I'll tell you why, Rav Yossi. Bishlema itani ipcha. If the Mishnah would have the reverse case, what's the reverse case? Hakoisim nechasav li'aviv, that a person wrote his nechasim to his father. And you have the same type of situation. Not that he wrote nechasim to his son, mayyem al-achar misa, but again to his oviv, mayyem al-achar misa. And the oviv should not go and sell until the son passes away, but he did sell. And the son retained for himself the kinyan aperis. And then the father sold it to someone else. And now the question is, what happened if the father predeceased the son, which is, of course, the norm. If he predeceased, what happened? He never received reshus over these peiros. Would you say in such a case that it goes to the lekeach, yes or no? So says now Rav Yosef, if the case of the Mishnah would be the reverse, you'd be able to be poishit that if you hold that the lekeach gets the peiros that the av sold, even if the father predeceased the son, and the father never received the guf or the peiros, he never received anything because the guf is worthless, it's just nominal title. He didn't get the peiros because unfortunately he predeceased his own son. So now when the son passes away, the Chori, I should say, it doesn't go to lekeach. However, if you're going to learn like the Mishnah, and you're going to reverse it, and you're going to say, it does go to lekeach, ikal mishnah, you know, you'd be able to push it. Clearly, Rabbi Amri Abba, you would be right. The kinyan peiros lav ki kinyan aguftami. That even though the son retained the right to the kinyan peiros, he only gave his father the kinyan haguf. And we're saying that li'achar mei ve'esem, when the father passed away, and the father had sold it to somebody else, it goes to that other lekeach when the son will pass away. What's the reason why? How could he go and sell it? After all, the son owned the kinyan peiros. In the kinyan peiros, kinyan guftam. No, it's not kinyan guftam. And therefore, it's a raya that you're right. It makes no difference who deceased first, whether it was who passed away first, whether it was the father, the son. Kinyan peiros, not kinyan guftam, and it works well. But that's not the case in the Mishnah. There's another factor involved over here. What Rav Yosef is saying is, even if you hold the kinyan peiros ke kinyan haguf tami, and therefore you're saying to yourself, then how can the son go and sell it to the lekeach? And if the son predeceased, how does it go to the lekeach? I'll tell you why. Mishum deroy liyorshihu. It's normal that a son should go and yarshin from his father. And therefore, why was it necessary for the father even to write to the son this type of document, mehayoyim ul'acha misa? After the father, passes away, then the son anyway is going to get the Yerusha. So why was it necessary? It must be because he wanted to give him a yipui koyach. He wanted to go and strengthen his rights.
Two sons, he wanted to give it to this one.
Well, that's our Rabbi Isaac. Yeah. You're now getting on to next Shikri Gemara. The Gemara is assuming at this point there's only one father, only one son. It was not necessary for him to give it to the son. The son would have gotten it anyway. So the reason why he did it, because he wanted to strengthen his rights. He wants to strengthen his rights. Even if normally I would say the kinyan peiros is kinyan guftami, what the son, what the father is saying is, I waive some of my strength and some of my rights, and I give you more rights, my son. And therefore, if you go and sell it, and even if you do predecease me, that's fine. Nevertheless, it's going to go to lekeach because I strengthened your rights, because I gave away, I waived some of my rights by giving it to you when it was not necessary, because you would have yarshin it anyway. And when you yarshin, of course you can go and sell it to anybody you want to. So therefore, you could hold kinyan peiros kinyan guftami. If that's the case, then you don't have a right to our case of Rav Shmuel bar Abba. Because if you hold kinyan peiros kinyan guftami, then Rav Shmuel, then the second husband of Rav Shmuel bar Abba's mother has all the rights. And when she wrote out the document giving it to her son, it's a nullity, it's gornish, because he had the kinyan peiros. Right. So therefore, what Rav Yosef is saying is, you don't have a raya from the Mishnah, because that Mishnah is talking about a special situation of a father and son, where the son already is destined to go and get all the Yerusha anyway. So by writing out the document, we're giving him more rights than he would normally be entitled to. But that is nothing to do with our case when we're talking about the husband and wife and the son from the earlier marriage. Here you don't have that type of situation where the son would yarshin from the mother. Normally the husband would yarshin from the wife. So you don't have any yipui koyach. This was a brand new conveyance to her son. But that cannot defeat the overwhelming rights that her husband has to the property, because he has the kinyan peiros. Kinyan peiros, kinyan guftami. So therefore, says Rav Yosef, You have no right.
The Ipui Koach, what would that accomplish?
What it would accomplish is that if and when the son decided to go and sell the property to a Lekeach, and the son predeceased, normally we'd say, well, since the son never received it, then how could he go and give it to the Lekeach?
I was to say the overriding principle, the Kenyan passed the Kenyan goof. So even with this giving it over, what is it? How does it help? Because
that was Rabbi Yom Bar Abizraya. What Rav Yosef is saying, no. I hold him, you know, can you go for them? And therefore, normally the son would not be able to go and convey it to a Lekeach. Mm-hmm. However, because the father decided to go and give him this shtar, he strengthened the koiches of the son. Therefore, the son is able to go and make a conveyance and sell it to the Lekeach, b'chayi oviv, that even if the son predeceases the father and never received the actual property in his hands, he never got even for a split second the Kenyan Peres, makes no difference. The father knew that would happen, and that was his intent when he wrote out the shtar, that I'm giving it to you, lock, stock, and barrel, except for the income, but otherwise it's yours, and therefore the son can sell it
and
after.
And the other way around, when the son
because a father normally would not yashin from his son. No, the son yashin from the father.
Say also that he put koach that he gave him that extra power.
So. Next, you call omale abaya or to bra yoris abba abla yoris bra, like what Brother Shai is telling us. Okay. Just like you're telling me that the son was destined to go and get from the father. Hilchas Yerusha. So if you're going to go and switch around the facts, like you suggested of Yosef, that itani ibra kois and chasal the aviv. Guess what? If there are no other children, then the father would go and get the entire estate, the Yerusha of his son. So by the son writing out my Yom al-Achamisa, it's the same type of Yibur Koich. So why are you, Rav Yosef, distinguishing between a Koich L'chos L'Yaviv or a Koich L'chos L'Noi? The Koich is exactly the same. Hom le'abai, otu barah, yaris haba, abal yaris barah. Ella, I'll tell you what's really going on. What's really going on is, l'avruchinu l'nechse mibrei ka'asi. The reason why you have over here the situation where the father is giving it to the son is because he doesn't want it to go to the other children. As you said before, maybe there's a second, third, fourth other children, and he doesn't particularly like any of those. This particular son he feels is a gem, hazah, taira, taira, zun. So he wants to give everything to him. Exactly. or maybe he's a tremendous Talmud Chacham and he's mechanech his children al derech ha-toyer v'avoydem. Maybe the other is anisht. Whatever it is, we don't have to know all the facts. We can just make any presumptions that you want. So that's the reason why I gave it Libnoi. So don't automatically assume Yipa Koyach, Shmi Pa Koyach. It has nothing to do with Yipa Koyach. The reason why I gave it to this son is to make sure Acha Mei Be'Aser, it doesn't go to any of the other kids. And that's why I gave it only Mehayoyim u'Lachar Misa. As soon as Chas V'Sholom, I pass away, says the father, it's going to go instantaneously to you and to nobody else. If that's the case, Hochanami, even in the case that you posed Rav Yosef the other way around, this son had a bunch of brothers, apparently he had no children, and he was concerned that if and when he passes away, then his estate is going to go to his brothers. I don't have my brothers. I didn't have anything to do with those brothers. And therefore he wanted to go upstairs to his father. Again, not because of Yipri Koich, the reason is because la'avruchinu. He wanted to be mavriach.
To shut them off.
Shut them off. Oh, so Ibazoi, Zakti Gemara, Abaye, sister of Yosef, you're trying to distinguish between a Koich Nechos Li'ov, a Koich Nechos of Libnoi, the Choyre, that distinction doesn't hold water. And therefore we go back to the original presumption that this Mishnah holds, sai if the son predeceased, sai if he passed away after his father, the Lekeach gets the property. It must be because Kinyan Peiris love Kinyan at Guftami, and therefore, that being the case, Reb Shmuel Bar Abba was right, and Reb Yirmiyah Bar Abba was right to give the property to Reb Shmuel Bar Abba, even though the second husband had the Kinyan Peiris. But the Kinyan Peiris love Kinyan at Guftami, and therefore, the mother had the right to go and convey the property to the son. And that's what she did. So Yom Bar Abba is right. And that's a wonderful Mishnah that supports his view. What are we going to do with Yehuda, Rav Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel? Zakti Yomara, Elamai, Ein Adem B'Mishnah Seinu. That the first wide line, when they came back to Yehuda, Omer Lehu, Hachi Yom Shmuel, Zu Ein Adem B'Mishnah Seinu. So the Gemara was groping in the dark. What do we mean, Ein Adem B'Mishnah Seinu? So Rav Yosef said the difference between the Chas of the Ovim and the Chas of the Lebnai. But the Gemara went, it was Docha that Pshat, Oh, you know why Sadu Mishnah saying the Mishnah Takanas Usha? Because there was a later Takana. The Mishnah is correct, absolutely. And remember, the Mishnah is not talking about Takanas Usha. Takanas Usha is talking about husband and wife. The Mishnah is talking about father and son. Father and son, you're right, according to Reish Lakish, Kini Pei Zaki, Kini Neguf Tami, and therefore, normally I would say that Rabbi Yom Bar Abba is right, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Abba should get the property from the mother, 100% right. But there's that famous Takanas Usha. The Omer of Yoisi Bar Chania, but Usha is Kino, and one of the Takanas that they made in Usha, which remembers one of the stops of the Sanhedrin, there were 10 stops before the Chorm Bismidish. Rabbi and the Sanhedrin never had to go into Golus, and they went to Usha, I believe, twice. But regardless, but they certainly went at least once. And when they came to Usha, Hiskinu, O Isha Shamach Rabbanach, say Malug, Bechaye Bala, O Mesa, Abal Moitzi Miyad Halakuchais. Apparently, there was a problem in terms of marital relations between husbands and wives. To be able to strengthen those marital bonds, they didn't want that women should go and dispense with or convey their property, because that will get the Baal infuriated. He's going to say, this is my property, I have the income stream, what business do you have to go and sell? Yeah, but I'm only doing l'achar misa. Young lady, please, you know, this is my property, I have the income, I don't want you tampering with it. So that caused apparently some marital friction. So they made a tekana nusha. And then eventually she passed away. So the chori, what should happen is that the property should go to the loikeach, especially based on this Mishnah, because the Baal's total involvement and ownership was only kinyan peiris. And now we're learning like Rish Lakish, the kinyan peiris lav ki kinyan hagoftami. Nevertheless, an ushli women sakin abal moitzi miyad alakuchais. Oh, so applying that rule to our case over here. Avad and the mother, min ha-toira, based on that Mishnah, she had every right to convey the property to her son, Reb Shmuel Bar Abba, because her husband only had the kinyan ha-peiris and nothing more than that. However, in Usha they said, young lady, whatever you're going to do to convey property of Nechzi Maluk is all a nullity. And that's why Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Oish Shemach v'Nechzi Maluk v'chayi ba'ala, u'meisa. About Moitz Miyad Al Kucha is based on this Takanas Usha.
So why is it Mas Banin Dechran? We had the whole case of Banin Dechran.
Yeah, okay, well, we're not learning Kol Hashas on one foot.
But she couldn't have established it as
it had to be written in the Ksuba, or it had to be this Takanas Usha could be supersedes that, even if you did write it, was up there.
Well, if this Machol is revealed from Ashlokish about Kenyan Paris to Kenyan Gufta, not, why isn't the Takanas Usha basically settle it?
It probably does. In other words, in the case of father and son, it wouldn't settle it, because it's a Takanas Usha only legabe the husband and wife. But in the case of father and son, then we'd be back to the same question. Is that Mishnah talking about that the son predeceased the father, or it did not predecease him?
Now we understand the English
Tibi.
Okay?
In English Tibi?
Like this. Okay? We'll have you.
Yeah.